Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here. In case anybody's listening to the recording, if we actually do get to making a recording, pray that our technology all behaves itself. We're in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12 and Isaiah 34 this morning. So Exodus chapter 12 and Isaiah 34. I am just making sure my phone is on quiet. And Isaiah 34 will be our reading, suggested by Steve. Will volunteered to read, so amen. We're not reading right now, John. We're not reading right now. It's just some people have asked me that listen to it later. So we'll give you plenty of heads up whenever it comes to it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day and for life and health and strength. For each one of the folks that's here and for the families that are represented here. We don't forget the folks in the Maboy Road either, Lord, or down in Brigade, for Henry and Evelyn. Lord, for all those that get a chance to listen to this later on. I just pray you please, Lord, that you would help it be a help to us, Father. That this would not be a wasted time, that this would not be a time of habit and rolling eyes and gritting of teeth, but Lord, an opportunity to hear what it is that you want for us to know or to do, or Lord, just to straighten us out or to encourage us or to lift us up. Lord, please, I pray that your will would be accomplished this morning. Not just here, but Lord, right the way across the world. Brother Stans and Brother Bissett's, Lord, with Black Creek, Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hayne, with Brother Allen and Brother Francis. And Lord, please, I pray, speak to people's hearts and minds across the world. You know, the world's in a bit of a dire place, Lord, and pray your good hand upon the leaders of it. And Father, that you would, please, if it would be your will, Lord, that you would halt the infections, that you would mitigate whatever's going on, Father, and please save people's lives and please save people's souls. Thank you for answered prayer for Marty's nephew. And Lord, I just pray for a speedy recovery and a life-changing events, Lord. We love you and praise you. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right, our first hymn of the morning is 150. 150, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. 150 in the big book.
150.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. Give me one wee second there. There we go. 377. We'll sing that next. That'll get us rightly warmed up for the Bible reading. 377. 377 in the big books. Rescue the perishing. 377.
Turning this morning to Isaiah chapter 34. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, that the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their stain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozra, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorns shall come up down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all their princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in their palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vulture also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast a lot from them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Amen.
Thank you for that, Will. That was Brother Steve's. I appreciate Will offering to read that for me this morning. Just by way of announcements, correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, what do you call Marty's nephew?
Ethan.
If there was a way to be impaled with a bit of an old fence, he did it the right way. Thankfully, no major organs were injured whenever a piece of fence went through him. And he is now sitting up in bed, and he is hopefully, thoughtfully pursuing the rest of his life. Don't know all the ins and outs in the background of it, but I do know the young fella needs to be saved. So please do continue to pray for him. Hospital is a great place to have time in your hands to consider your future. I think we were talking out in the entryway there about prisoners. People in prison having plenty of times in their hands to consider their future, but hospital's another good place. So please do pray for that young fella, Ethan. Do continue to pray for our country. We certainly do need every little bit of help that God will send our way. Do pray for Arlene Foster and Boris Johnson, Nicola Sturgeon, and I was reading the name of the Prime Minister of Wales, but I can't remember it, Mark somebody or other. So please do pray for them, and that's the only reason I remembered it, because it wasn't too hard to remember. But please do pray for them, for President Trump, for President Xi, for Kim Jong-un, for Vladimir Putin, for David Hurley in Australia, for New Zealand and Japan and Taiwan and South Africa and, well, the rest of Africa and South America. Our world needs a lot of prayer right now. So, and of course, we are commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. So please do pray for that and the Lord's will to be done. There has never been a time in the whole history of man where something like this has happened. I think the biggest upset would have been the last war. I'm not talking about the Falklands War either. We're talking about the last world war. Please do pray for people to be thoughtful about where their lives are going to take them from here on in. We live in difficult times. Do also pray for the Forrest family and the Cosgrave families at this time as they mourn the loss of loved ones. Francis lost a brother there a few weeks back. Paul Forrest, whom some of you have met and seen here over the years, he went into eternity a couple of weeks back as well. I'm sure they will miss Paul. He was a big character, and he will certainly be missed, not just in family circles, but in preaching circles as well. Do pray for the Cousins family in Kilkeel, for the Gilbert family over in Black Creek Baptist. I think I've forgotten somebody. I think there was somebody else. We haven't.
Rita's family.
Oh yes, Rita's family. Please do pray for Hilary and Elaine, Rita's family. My apologies about that. Should actually write these things down instead of depend on a flaky memory to bring them up whenever I need them. And don't forget Norman as well. And we all miss loved ones whenever they step off into eternity. It's good to know we'll see them again if they're saved. And it's good to know that being saved means that we will meet again. But in the meantime, we pray for each other and watch out for each other. And of course, don't forget Taylor. Taylor Roth will be joining us in about 3 days' time. So Christy will have her over for about a week. And then she'll be flying back again. Just pray for, I was going to say plain sailing, but smooth flying, is that it? And travels until she gets here. So please do pray about that. Next week, we will be kicking off our service about an hour earlier than it is right now, 10:30. We will be having our morning service, and then we will be having our afternoon service, pretty much a song or two and maybe 10 minutes later. So you don't have to bring a packed lunch. If you do, pray that the Lord blesses it and we'll all get a bite of it. But we'll not be here that long. We'll be kicking off at 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. Be more than enough time to get our day's worship in. And should we have to do without a bite of food for 2 hours, looking round the church, I reckon we'll all survive. So we'll be grand. That's just next week. And after that, Taylor will be away. Is it on the Wednesday she leaves again? So we'll not see her on the Wednesday, but please do pray. And we look forward to the time together. I think that's about that. Don't forget Pat and Steve. Good news with Steve. He had infections in his leg and I think a bit of a slight injury in his foot that needed tending to. So please do pray for him. And I would ask also prayer for Sammy and Sally and Kate, Billy's neighbours, none of whom are saved. They really do need to be saved because none of them are very well. And do pray for Pearl and Alan Leslie as well, if you would. Didn't make mention of all the names in my boy Road, but don't forget Carol and Harry and Marie, Jane and Corey, Stephen and Anne-Marie next door, and Henry and Evelyn up at the far end of the road. To the best of my knowledge, their daughter as well, their little baby girl, I think it is, as well too. And everything's going rightly for me. So I think that's about that. Are there any other announcements, anything else we would need to make mention of? One other thing, Steve asked me to remember his daughter's boyfriend's mother. Don't know her name, she keeps falling down, she's not well, and she's broken her wrist. So that's not a good sign. Pray for Steve's connection. And the Lord will know what you mean. All right, I think that's about that. Anybody got anything else? We miss Esther this morning. We also don't forget Leonard either. So I think that's just about everybody mentioned. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the open invitation to come before you at any time of the day or night with all the petitions and the thoughts of our hearts. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant our prayer requests and petitions, especially our private prayer requests and petitions. You know what we have going on in our hearts and minds. And I pray you, Lord, for your peace and your purpose to be found there. Please, Lord, close us in with yourself at this particular time. Please, Lord, be with those that are missing lost loved ones. Please comfort and strengthen. And I pray if there's anybody that's not well, and thinking especially on Steve at this particular time, Pat too, that you would lift them up. Pray also for my own recovery, Lord, that you would help me with that and keep me pointed in the right direction and look after my wife as she looks after me. But Lord, you know all our needs, and I pray that you would supply them, please. You know specific requests for travel and mercy, for anybody that is traveling that we know, especially Taylor at this time. And I pray you, Lord, that you would save her mom and dad. Father, we have such a great need of you, especially in these dark days. Please, Lord, speak in the still small voice in the ears of those that have the power in this world and convict them greatly of sin and judgment to come and of discharging their office, the office that they have been given appropriately. We just love you and thank you, Father, and we know that you're always there for us. You're only ever a prayer away. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we thank you for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, too, for life and health and strength. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Right. If you want to take your big hymn books again and turn to hymn number 75. Hymn number 75, that is On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Hymn number 75 in the big books. To the second of our Bible references this morning, we are in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 21. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse number 21. And I want to spend just a few moments this morning speaking on the subject of what do you mean? Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse number 21 and reading through until verse number 28. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And we'll read on another couple of verses. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Amen. Verse number 26, we're taking our text from the last half a dozen of verses in that. We're speaking on the subject of what do you mean? What do you mean? Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Thank you.
Your goodness, Lord, for your renewed mercies every morning. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us, Lord, for your forbearance with us, for, Lord, your forgiveness as well. And we're glad you done. We're thankful to be in your house this morning, Lord, and we're thankful in advance for the message that you laid upon the preacher's heart. We ask and pray your good hand upon him as he delivers it, Lord, that you would grant wisdom and boldness and strength, Lord, a fire in the belly, Lord, and you would just open our ears and our hearts, Lord, to the sound of your words this morning. Minister each soul here, Lord, each one that will listen. Father, meet needs, we pray. Save the lost amongst our lost friends and family, Lord, especially those that those contacts that the church has, Lord, and those that are that the church is ministering to. Lord, please be with the sick of this time, Lord. We're thankful for Steve's infection cleared up as well, Lord. We ask and pray you watch over him and Pat, Lord, for the McMahon family, for Nana, for Leonard, Lord, as well, that you'd remember those folks, Lord, who, Lord, couldn't be here, Lord, as well. Lord, just bless his service. Use his time, Lord, to fashion your children, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that you've done for us and through us, and continue to work on us, Lord, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Verse number 26 of Exodus 12, we're taking the last six verses of that, where the Word of God says, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That is our text. Our title is, what do you mean? Now, for the sake of explanation, we're going to take a little bit of time and give you a little bit of the run-up to this portion of God's Word, to the final plague that God used to bring Egypt to heel and to release the children of Egypt, of Israel from Egypt after the 430 years that they spent there. Moses has called the elders of Israel and he says, if you want to avoid the destroyer visiting your house, this is what you do. You take a lamb of the first year and you kill it, and you take the blood of the lamb and you put it on the doorposts and the lintel, the vertical and the horizontal, so that when the destroyer passes through the country, anybody that is in a house that has that on the doorposts and the lintel, and that might have meant, in our case, the front door and the back door, the destroyer will not go in. But if the destroyer, the angel of death, God kills people, friends. It's not all hugs and kisses. There is a severe element of judgment. God loves judgment. He also loves loving kindness and righteousness, but he loves judgment. It is part of his character and what he likes. If God doesn't see that, he will enter in and he will kill the firstborn, the final plague on the country of Egypt. He said, I also want for you to remember the Passover feast, the unleavened bread, the roasted lamb, the no broken bones. And I want for you to remember to make sure that there's nothing left of it for the morning. And whenever your children ask you, what is this all about? Because there will come a day whenever the people that are observing the Passover year by year, they're not going to be people that experienced the Passover. They're only going to be people that heard about the Passover. Whenever they ask what this all means, then you can tell it. You can tell of the great salvation that God gave. You can tell of the children of Israel living in the land of Egypt for 430 years from the day Joseph brought them in until the day that Moses brought them out or took them out, depending on your English. How they were warmly welcomed as saviors and then wickedly persecuted as slaves and used to make the Egyptians rich. You can tell them of the Pharaoh that didn't remember the great salvation brought by Joseph and conveniently started believing like Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember that? When Nebuchadnezzar stood one evening looking over the whole of Babylon and believed in his heart that by his power and by his wisdom and by his strategies, he had amassed this entire fortune. And at that very moment, the Lord took away his mind for 7 years. Pharaoh started believing that all the riches of Egypt were his because of something he had done or his dad had done, and not down to a divine intervention and salvation. Also that the treasure cities built with off the backs and on the blood of the children of Israel, that they were all his as well by some right, and he just wasn't about to let his slave labor force go. Hundreds of thousands of slaves, he wasn't about to let them go. And before we get into the next little bit, you have to remember that the pharaohs themselves demanded, like Kim Jong-un today, to be literally worshipped as gods. We might find that whenever we read this, that it's hard to believe that that happens, but it's happening in North Korea right now, even as we speak. Kim Jong-un's pictures everywhere. He is quite literally worshipped as God, the man that has the power of life and death over anybody and everybody in his own hand, in his hands. So Moses comes up to Pharaoh with a message that any would-be gods are not going to like. And that is, the God that saved Israel 430 years ago, the God that made Israel the richest nation on earth, the very salvation of the earth, well, he would like his people back. And if you don't listen, you're going to pay. Now, I don't know if you've ever come across somebody that thinks the world revolves, that the sun, the moon, and the stars revolve around them, and the whole of existence stops and starts in what they think, believe, or say. But there are people out there like that. And Pharaoh was one of them. The word of God records time and time again that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But I think, to be quite honest with you, the hardening had taken place decades sooner. And so it begins in Exodus 7 when Aaron and Moses throw down the staff that turns into a serpent as a display of God's power. And we also know that that Pharaoh's magicians threw down their staves and they turned into snakes. But Aaron's staff ate the magician's staff. And Pharaoh didn't believe that that was from God because he could do that too. A few verses later on, in verses 19 and 22, we see Moses turning the rivers into blood so that there was no drinking water in the whole country. And the Bible also says that Pharaoh's magicians did the same, although I fancy they probably took a glass of water and said, abracadabra, hocus pocus, and dropped something in it, and it went red as well. And so Pharaoh didn't believe that either. As we go on, Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, if you don't let my people go, God is going to bring frogs everywhere. He's going to bring them up out of the rivers and everywhere, even into your very beds. Of course, it happens, and the magicians do the same. And it's funny for all that the magicians are able to do the same, but they could never actually walk the miracles back. They could never walk the judgments back. They couldn't make the frogs go. They couldn't turn the water back into, they couldn't turn the rivers of blood back into rivers of water. So Pharaoh begs Moses to take the frogs away, and he does. And then, of course, his heart's hardened, and he turns his back on his deed. Verse 16, the land of Egypt gets a couple of freebies, because you don't lie to God. You don't make deals with God and then walk and then go back on them. So he sends lice in the land all the way across the land. And the magicians can't do it because it's beyond them. And they come to Pharaoh and they say, Pharaoh, may you live forever, and whatever else it is you say to a Pharaoh whenever you're introducing yourself, we can't do this. This is beyond our, in quotes, enchantments. This is the finger of God. So a few verses later, when the lice disappear, Moses comes back to Pharaoh and says, God says that you're to let my people go, or else there'll be flies everywhere, except in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwelt. And of course, the flies come, and Pharaoh says, please take them away. Worship God in the land. And Moses says, no, we're taking everything into the wilderness. And when the flies are gone, Pharaoh's heart is again hardened, and he goes back on his deal. Only a few verses later in Exodus chapter 9, God instructs Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, you better let my people go, or it'll be the worse for you. There'll be a disease on your cattle, but not in Goshen, where the children of Israel live. And of course it happens, and all the cattle die. And Pharaoh, he says, I'm not going to let you go. His heart is hardened yet again. In verse number 8, Moses takes the ashes and sprinkles them in the sight of Pharaoh. And every one of the Egyptians in the land comes down with boils. You don't lie to God, and you don't break your word to God. If you can't do something, don't bargain with God. Ask God. But don't make a deal with him and then go back on it. A verse or two later, God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, you better let my people go, or it'll be even worse. And I'm going to send more stuff your way so that you will know that I am God and I'm for real. So he sends that great hail. He says, I'm going to send hail. And anyone and anything that's in the fields will be killed. We all know what happens. It only takes a quick read. It's a very interesting read. It's like something out of a Hollywood movie. There's an incredible hail, and there's thunder, and fire runs across the ground, and it destroys all the crops that were coming up and all the people and any animals that were left in the fields. Now, you would like to think after that it happened to somebody that people would actually start to see sense. And Pharaoh actually bucks himself up, and he takes a good lump of his pride, a good mouthful of his pride, and he swallows it, and he admits to Moses, he says, do you know what, Moses? I have sinned. And realized that I'm in the presence of God, and he's the one that has the power. God is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Please call to God for me. And of course he does. And yet again, Pharaoh goes back on his word. His heart is hardened. We go forward to the end of chapter 9 and we kick off into chapter 10. And God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh again and tell him to let my people go or I'm going to send a plague of locusts. And Pharaoh's advisors, do you know what? You have advisors for a good reason, because they give you advice. And Pharaoh's advisors actually come to him. They're counting the cost. Pharaoh, all Pharaoh can see is a god vying with him as God. But the advisors are saying, Pharaoh, please, for heaven's sake, the country is destroyed. Let these people go. And Pharaoh says to Moses, well, who's going to worship? And Pharaoh thinks and he says, do you know what? All the men, you men, just go into the wilderness and worship. Leave your little ones and your families behind, because by God, men are charged with looking after their families and they're going to come back for their families. That's not what God asked for. God said, let my people go. He didn't say, let my men go. He didn't say, let my animals go, my women go, my children go. He said, let my people go. Of course, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He was coming up against a god and he was getting a kicking. He was getting beaten. And the locusts come. And the locusts eat everything that the hail and the fire didn't destroy, and there is nothing left. And still, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Did you ever come across someone that wouldn't learn a lesson? Moses did. A few verses later, the next plague is an incredible darkness in the land. A darkness so thick you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. But the children of Israel were already prepared with lanterns and lights and candles and whatever it is that they used to light their houses. Certainly not electricity and solar powered lights. But they all had light in their houses, so that whilst the Egyptians could do nothing, the children of Israel could go about their business in their own homes. And Pharaoh calls Moses and Moses goes and says, everyone go but the flocks. Leave the flocks behind. Moses said, no, we want the flocks as well to make sacrifice to our God. And of course, we all know that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And that's pretty much where we come to now. God said there's going to be one more plague. But he also called and gave instructions. This is the way that you will be saved. For all the judgment that comes from heaven, there is a way for people to be saved. And of course, we already spoke about that. About the Passover lamb, it was a picture of Jesus Christ, that there would be no broken bones, because whenever they went to check that Jesus was dead, normally what they did was they broke the legs of the people on the cross so that they couldn't push themselves up to get a breath of air, and then they asphyxiated shortly afterwards. Christ was already dead on the cross, and they didn't break his bones. That is speaking about that. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. And it was to be eaten as if you were dressed and ready to go. That's what the Lord said, because we all know that as soon as the cry went up, the children of Israel were commanded to go and ask of their Egyptian neighbors gold and silver and precious stone. Can you lend us some gold? Can you lend us some jewels? Can you lend us some silver? And of course, when people's hearts are broken like that, they don't care about any of that stuff. They learned far too late. Some things are just not important anymore. Without God as Savior, without him in your life, nothing really means anything. Nothing satisfies. But even now, they could have repented and trusted and saved the firstborn in their homes if they had just admitted that God was right and they were wrong. Oh no. After a few days of grieving, that hatred and ire from Pharaoh rose up. He was shown to be a little god. The God of the children of Israel kicked him in the pants, punched him in the mouth, gave him a thick ear and a fat lip. He was humiliated. He was humbled. And yet he couldn't admit that he was wrong. So what did he do? He sent his army out to destroy the children of Israel. And we know how that went for them. We know that the angel of the Lord went and stayed in between them and confused them with the pillar of smoke during the day. And they couldn't see where they were going. And we know that the Lord blew a strong east wind the whole day and the night, and I think, or was it the whole night, and dried up the Red Sea for them to walk across like on dry land. And whenever the Egyptians tried to ride over after them, the wheels came off the carts and they pulled the carts along. I'm sure that slowed them down a little bit. The waters came crashing in and utterly annihilated the whole army of the Egyptians. They were broken and they have never recovered. You see, Pharaoh's fathers, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they had been supernaturally saved and were able to supernaturally save the world from a world-spanning famine because they listened to Joseph, a man of God who spoke on behalf of God. They were made the breadbasket of the world, the richest country in the world, and then they went and forgot who supplied their salvation. They even went so far as to persecute those that brought their salvation. And even as I was looking at that, I got to thinking about the persecution of God's people today, right here and now. Not right here and now as in the church, but in our present day. And so many of these people that are calling for the abolition of the church, calling for laws against the giving out of gospel tracts or the preaching of the gospel in the streets, don't actually realize that if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be any human rights. There wouldn't be any love for the fellow man. It would be a free-for-all, and the strongest would rise to the top. The weakest would be beaten to a pulp. We would probably be speaking German, and there wouldn't be free speech. There wouldn't be an education. You wouldn't have the right to pretty much do whatever you want to do. People don't realize that by persecuting Christians and the very things that have made this country free, that all they're doing is preparing a road to destruction for themselves. And it's not just here. It's happening right the way around the world. Egypt got to experience what it was like when all the blessings that had been heaped on Egypt those 14 years and had lasted for 430 years, the blessings of God were only heaped on that country for 14 years. Because that's all that's mentioned in the Word of God. The 7 years of plenty that Joseph was in charge of gathering all the food into the barns in Egypt, and the 7 years of famine whereby Egypt became the richest, most powerful country in the world. There's not one thing mentioned after that about Egypt. But for 426 years after that, Egypt was blessed. It was rich. It was powerful. But all because, in the beginning, it followed God. So they got to experience the removal of God's blessings. They got to experience when the hand that was making them all that they could be was taken away because they kept biting it. They got to understand at the very, very end that without God, nothing else matters. Even all the gold and silver that they had gathered together meant nothing at the loss of the most important thing in their lives, the firstborn. And we see all the things that not just Pharaoh did, but we do as a creature too whenever we're confronted with Jesus Christ, saved and lost. Does anyone ever remember a fella called Jonah? Never heard of a fella called Jonah? God said, Jonah, I need you to do a job. And Jonah gets his Nikes on and runs as hard as he can in the opposite direction. He says, I'm not doing that. You want me to go and speak to those people? And they've hurt me. And they're the robber city. The city that has pirated and looted towns and countries all around and about it and grown fat off of the backs of other people. You want me to go and preach the gospel to them? You've got to be joking. God said, I told you I wanted you to go there and preach the gospel. You all know how that ended up for Jonah. But anyway, God begins gently. He begins gently with Pharaoh. He gives him a demonstration on his own court with the snakes. He turns the water into blood. So far, nobody has died. Life has become a little bit inconvenient. They have to filter this whatever it is out of the water. He begins gently, reasoning, conversing. And yet, in all, we as a creature, we oppose and reject that. I can do anything God can do. Do you know where that lie actually comes from? That's what's going on in the mind of the devil. I will be like the Most High. That's what a lot of people believe. I can do anything God can do. That doesn't mean anything to me. It is a coincidence. It is something that just happened, an accident, a happy accident. But then God ramps up the examples and the demonstrations of his power. And have you ever seen people bargain with God? God, if you do this, I'll go to church. If you give me this, God, then I'll put more money into the plate. I remember hearing about a preacher one time who actually served as a soldier, and he was under fire and he was hiding under a truck. He didn't know at the time it was a fuel truck. And he was taking fire and he said, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to start living right. And he survived and just went back to being the way he was. That's the way we work. Because we think we get away with stuff whenever we make bargains with God and then turn our back upon him. You don't break your word for anybody. Until maybe somebody says, do you know what? All these things that are happening to you, that's probably God working in your life. How many times have we lied? I remember my own self walking through Belfast and making a deal with God. Even lying to God, if I see that fella again, I'm going to give him a gospel tract. This guy in army fatigues that was about 6'2" and maybe 200 plus pounds and with tattoos and piercings and Satan's illegitimate children tattooed across his forehead, which I found out years later he had gotten done after being drunk and regretted it. Along with a lot of the other tattoos. Don't know if he ever got saved, but I do know he went into eternity. But he didn't go into eternity without a gospel tract, because whenever this guy disappeared down a side street and got his Nikes on and ran the whole way round to meet me as I walked just the length of another street, and he appeared, God said, there he is. And I walked on and God said to me, you promised! And I felt so bad, I went back and spoke to the guy, and he was very, very well behaved. I'm very polite. That's what we start to do. We start to bargain. We start to plead. We even start to lie. And still God works in our lives. You know, even to the very point of not necessarily losing everything, but finding out that all of the things that we put so much store by, all of the things that we think are important, we start to realize they're not making my conscience feel any better. They're not giving me peace in my heart. They're not saving my soul. They're not taking away this conviction of sin. So we start to lose stuff. In the case of Pharaoh, it was the ability to feed themselves, all their cattle, their crops, all the things that God gave them, even their health disappeared. Even coming to the bit where he realized, I have sinned, talk to God for me. That's not the way salvation works. It's I have sinned to talk to God yourself. Admit yourself that you're wrong, but this happened a couple of times. And yet, at each one of those stages, there are people that will admit that they are wrong and will say, Lord, please save me. But there are people that are just going to get backed into a corner more and more and more until they have no maneuvering room. And they will die in their sins and go to a Christless eternity, which is not what God wants. What does it all mean? For the children of Israel, it was a turning point in the whole existence, in the whole race, if that's what you want to call it, the nation of Israel. It was their release from Egypt. It was their supporting through the desert for 40 years. It was a moment that was to be remembered as a great salvation by God, not just for the nation, but for each person in the nation. To all the generations that followed, to the ones that didn't experience it, it was to be remembered, it was to become part of their racial identity. And it was meant to remind them that God loved them. And it was Him and Him alone that brought them out with a mighty hand. And it was that same mighty hand that sustained them in the desert for 40 years, made sure that they were clothed and watered and fed, to remind them that there is a judgment for going against God. In Isaiah 45, the Lord said, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee though thou hast not known me. He said that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. In verse number 21 of the same chapter, Isaiah 45, he says, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. And that is all there so that we can listen to it, that we can learn from it and do better. What has that got to do with us today? Well, friends, just like the children of Israel could look back at the great deliverance that God would give them from the Egyptians, we don't have to look back to know that the word of God is true. We only have to read the news. And we see there are towns, states in America that are literally, of all places, the land of the free and the home of the brave, of all the places in the world that treats people right. We see the end result of young people not being taught about God, not being taught that they need God, not just as their Savior, but also as their guide, as their friend, as their Lord. We see the verses of scripture where men and women and children will be proud and covetous and boasters, unholy and unthankful, have no natural love or affection. And the people that lead them ought to be taken out and shot as traitors, because that's what they are whenever you see the things that people get up to today. These things are happening that we read, that were penned in this book 2,000 years ago, are happening right now. Wars and rumors of wars. There's a civil war going on in America. There are plagues running rampant. There are earthquakes all over the place. Nation wars against nation. All these things Jesus said would come. And friends, all these things are happening right now. I honestly can't think of one other thing that needs to be going on in this world before the Lord comes back for us. Wouldn't that be a hoot if I just said that and we all went up into the clouds to meet the Lord? Do you know why God preserved this book? This book, the last word was written in it just about 1900 years ago. John was an old guy in the Isle of Patmos. This book that has been preserved ever since, and some people might say, oh, the King James Bible has changed. I can guarantee you it hasn't. Because I have a bunch of King Jameses at home that are about 300-400 years. Well, not quite 400 years old, 200-300 years old. And they say exactly the same thing. All these things are preserved so that we can know that there is a God. That he saves with a mighty hand, but that there is also judgment coming to those that oppose him and reject him. So that we can know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love us to bits. That God the Son gave his life on the cross of Calvary for us. And all that it takes is an admission of guilt. A turning away from sin and a turning to God. That's what saves you for eternity. But your walk with God right now and your obedience to him is what will save you in this day and age. It's so that we can know that. When we see prophecies that are 2,000 plus years old coming to pass in our lifetimes, know for certain that the God of the Bible, the same one that delivered Israel, can deliver you and me, and will judge those that oppose us, and will sort, as a fellow says, the sheep from the goats someday. But he wants you to get saved. And he wants you to walk and talk with him throughout your whole life. Because there's going to come a day whenever we meet him face to face. And if you speak to somebody and you see them after a bit of time, you remember the last thing you said to them and you know where the conversation's going to go and you know how to talk to them. But whenever you meet someone for the first time, it's a bit of, how are you? I'm Mark. Who are you? Wouldn't it be nice to meet Jesus in heaven and say, Jesus, it's great to see you face to face. We've been having these long distance conversations for years, but it's great to see you face to face. Take some time with the Lord. Find out what he wants you to do. I have and can say with my hand in my heart that I would not want to be living my life in IBM in America or pulling down a 6-figure salary. I traded it to be here and to be a servant of the King of Kings. And I can recommend a life with Christ above all others in this world. Do what you can for him. Do what you can for him, as the Bible says, while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He loves you to bits. He'll provide for you every step along the way, and he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you, and he'll always make sure that you are getting to heaven. I'm going to stop. That's what it means. That's what it all means. And we're stopping there. God bless you. Thank you. Has anybody got a favorite that'd like for us all to sing by way of our closing hymn? Anybody got a favorite that'd like for us all to sing? 55. Pardon? 55. Hymn number 55 in the big books, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Thank you for that.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saint of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, he's called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Don't forget our absent brethren. Don't forget those that have slipped and slid as well. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Well, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today, Lord. I pray for bringing out the church well and safe and able, Lord. For everything that in our lives is front of me, Lord. Thank you for every blessing that you give to us, Lord. We have us, Lord, lay up the message Mark preached today. Through thy spirit to our hearts, Lord. And write it upon our souls, Lord. And may use it and Lord, obey your laws, Lord. And do everything that you sent us to do, Lord. And not like vain agreements for you that we only break, but Lord, may our agreements be with you, set in eternity, Lord. Lord, may we worship a great and holy name. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, Lord, and for the mission of sin. If only those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ be saved, Lord, and thank you for that sacrifice and all that was foretold in the days of the Passover, Lord, and Lord, that the sacrifice of Jesus would take place, and Lord, and we would be saved, Lord. We ask this day, Lord, with the people who committed today, Lord, with the McMahon family, John, Stephen, and Carl, Lord, and Esther, Lord, mm-hmm. And we also there, Lord, and both those bring the McMahon family back and Esther, Lord, back into church, Lord. Remember Steve, Lord, and these troubles, Lord, help him as well, Lord, heal him of all these body impairments, Lord, and cure him also. We've had also, Lord, help her and her as well, Lord, and bless them also, Lord. Bless for our world, Lord, and bless for our world leaders and wisdom, Lord, and Lord, give them things, the words to speak, Lord, that thy will be done, Lord, and thy will be done throughout the world, Lord, and that sin may be reduced, Lord, and people may look upon thee, Lord, and see that thou art good, Lord, and through thy Son, see his souls, Lord. And may we truly love thee and obey thee forever and ever. Bless us this day, Lord, both from those that are traveling, Lord, and Lord, with Taylor, give a journey of mercy, Lord, and bring her safely and securely to Ireland, Lord, and bless her also, Lord. And may everything be a blessing for her, and may she learn much, Lord. Bless us this day, Lord, and bring us in the point time to the church, Lord, give peace to Israel, Lord, and bless the Jews, Lord, can send the word through the Jews, Lord, that they need Jesus and Jesus only to be saved. There's no other name on the earth that men should be saved, Lord. We'll say, Lord, thanks for everything. Thanks for our Sunday lunch and for every good thing today, Lord, for the rest you've given us, Lord. And provide for us, give us for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, God bless you. I just want to say we're all saved. We're all dismissed. I pray we're all saved. Amen. Amen.